This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 2, 2023, Palm Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I have given my body to the strikers.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Palm Sunday, this picturesque celebration of our Lord entering into Jerusalem. The grandeur of the triumphal entry, followed by Holy Week, the week of his passion, of his death. I pray that many of you will be able to come to at least one or two, preferably all, of the liturgies of Holy Week, particularly those from the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Thursday to the Tenebrae and the service of the Presanctified on Friday. When you look at these things, you hear there's a lot less preaching that goes on and much more being attentive to what's said in the liturgy. And it's hard. If you do Holy Week correctly, if you're doing it correctly, there is no way that you can meditate on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and not shed a tear or two when you think about what happened to him. We lose sight of it. We can't help it. We live in a time when what happened to him, we can't fathom. We can't get our heads around it. I mean, just the gospel this morning. Think about a human being being done like that. Not bad at you. You're going to be executed. Well, here, let's mock you before we execute you. Let's put a crown of thorn on your head before we execute you. Let's make fun of you. Let's slap you around a little. Let's kick you out. And then the execution of itself. It happened to another person. It happened to the God-man. It happened to the one who spoke and all things leapt into existence. If we walked outside, you take a little break from that, it's getting long. You go out inside. If you saw somebody kicking a puppy, everybody would be all over the phone. Call the cops. There's somebody here kicking a puppy. Can you imagine the reaction of someone who would walk outside and see somebody nailing a puppy's paws to one of the telephone poles out there? Hey, there are kids here, man. Yeah, there are. And they should know what their Savior endured for them. The human being, the God-man, the one who came to save us, that's what he endured in a real sense. Nobody called anybody for him. He sat around and said, crucify him. Crucify him. Shows the difference between him and us. This is what we are confronted with if we do Holy Week properly. I got to work in here. Read the Passion narratives. Read all four Gospels about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and his arrest. Do that. The respect we should have for what he did. Because when you look at all these things that happened to him, this is even harder to get your head around. He did them freely. He did them voluntarily. He was not forced to. The Roman Catechism says this about our Lord's crucifixion. It was a peculiar privilege of Christ the Lord to die when he himself decreed to die, and to have died not so much by external violence, but by internal assent. Jesus proves to us time and time again the gospel, how freely he gave himself up for us. And if you pay attention to the gospels, you see it. Stories that don't have anything to do with his crucifixion. For instance, when they're mad at Jesus for saying certain things in the temple, now they took him out to stone him, and he just went away. He just disappeared from their sight. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. Another time, they get mad at him. Let's drag him out and throw him off a cliff. Same thing. He just goes away. Jesus decreed when he would die. He decreed how he was going to die. No other being that has ever walked the face of this planet has been able to decree when they die. Be a nice thing. Okay, I want to die at this time, and I want to die this way. Okay, it'd be a lot more comfortable for us, would it not? Jesus Christ is the only being that has ever walked the face of this planet who is able to say when he died, how he died. And he proves that to us time and time again in these different accounts that, again, don't really have anything to do with his crucifixion. But he showed, they don't put a hand on him unless he wants them to. He explicitly says, I lay my down life. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. It has been given me by the Father. In the first read today, it didn't say, oh, I laid there patiently while they struck me. Or the strikers took me and did this, that, or that. He said, I have given my body to the strikers. I have given my body to the strikers. The second, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He chose how he would die. They're going to stone him. No, stoning, horrible, but relatively quick if you do it correctly. Getting thrown off a cliff, that's real quick. No, I'm not going to die like that. If we could choose our death, I want to receive all the sacraments and then lay in bed and just kind of sleep away. That's what we would choose. Jesus chose the cross, the having the railroad spikes driven through your hands and your feet and hanging from those points. He chose that. He chose it. Even when they came to get him. You know, even, you know, these other times, like, well, oh, I'm going over here. Just gets away from him. When they do come to get him, he actually comes out. Whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. They fall on the ground. They get up. Whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. They fall on the ground again. He proves to them, even then, if I kept saying, I am he, or I just wanted you to, you'd just stay on the ground. Or you'd cease to exist. But okay, take me. Take me and do all these horrible things that we read about. He did that freely. And we understand that he did it freely. The Catechism said about him doing it freely. It was a privilege of his. He exhibits this privilege. And then it points to us. And it said, were anyone to endure all kinds of suffering for our sake, not because he chose them, but simply because he could not escape them, we should not consider this a very great favor. But were he to endure it freely, and for our sake only, having it in his power to avoid it, this would indeed be a benefit so overwhelming as to deprive even the most grateful heart, not only of the power of returning, but even feeling due thanks. We may hence, from an idea of his transcendent and intense love toward us, and of his divine and boundless claims to our gratitude. That little phrase there, his transcendent and intense love. Transcendent. What's that mean? We hear that all the time in church. Transcendent. What's it mean? Well, it's got something, you know, God. He's God. He's transcendent. And we should know what it means. When we say transcendent, God is transcendent. He exists apart from and not subject to any limitations of this created universe. Jesus Christ exhibited by his free embracing of this death a transcendent and intense love. He exhibited for us a love that we, and I'm always harping on this one about whenever we use that word love, his love is nothing like yours, no matter how much you love him, nothing like yours. It's an apples and oranges proposition. His love is transcendent. His love is apart from anything bound to the limitations of the material universe. And we have this very limited sense of love in this world. We love other people because we want to, always because of something we find pleasing in that person or that thing that we love. So our love is tainted by personal considerations. This is sad. We can like turn it off and turn it on due to circumstances. And I have, unfortunately, a couple times in my priestly career, dealt with marriages that have fallen apart after decades, like 35, 40 years. One week you're talking, it's just, you know, sugar wouldn't melt in their mouth about one another. They just love one another and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, fidelity is broken. And all of a sudden, you would not believe the hatred of people for every fiber of their being to someone whom they have lived for decades, had kids with, and they hate them with a passion that is almost demonic. I mean that literally. That's our love. It's bound by circumstance. You know, you do me wrong, I don't love you. We do him wrong all the time. We do him wrong all the time, and he did this for us. And he doesn't stop giving grace with his confession, with the Eucharist, all these other things. This is how it's a transcendent love. Our love isn't like that. So when you say, "Look, Jesus loves me," think about it in the terms that are different. This is the reality of Christ's love for us. It is transcendent. And because he exhibited this, that last thing that it says in the Catechism, that his divine and boundless claims, because of what he did, on our gratitude, we cannot conceive. He showed us transcendent love. His claims on us are transcendent when it comes to gratitude. And gratitude is another word we use a whole lot. Oh, yeah, thank you. Say thank you. Like a little kid, give him a present, you know. We give a little kid a present, and they grab it and start to open it. What do you say? Oh, thank you. Like they mean it. Hey, let me rip the papers off. Yeah. Is that gratitude in their capacity? Yeah. It's not really being thankful, because gratitude has two aspects. Gratitude in of itself, saying thank you, but to say it like you mean it. But there's also a second part of it, and that's returning the kindness. The boundless claims that our Lord Jesus Christ has on us because of what he has done for us, the gratitude part, that is first and foremost manifest when we come to worship him. When we come to Mass, every single Mass that we attend, weekday Mass, Sunday Mass, feast, solemnity, no matter what, every single Mass should be presented, at least in part, that you are participating in the Passion in at least a little way. That is why, since the establishment of the Church, it has been called the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Holy Sacrifice. When you come to Mass, that is should be the first and foremost presentation. The sacrifice. No, it's supposed to be where you're happy. You can only be happy because of what he endured. That is the only reason you can be happy. And you walk around and you go to most parishes, and what do you say? This gratitude should be manifest by a reverence, getting crucified, being spat on, and everything like that. Things that we can't comprehend. That all happened to him freely. He endured it for no sake but for ours, while we continue to offend him. And we come in to give him thanks, and it looks like a religious block party. Slapping backs, shaking hands, talking, laughing. That's ingratitude. That is not being there to give him gratitude, to say thank you for any matter of sacrifice. No, we come to Mass, it's like the Lord's Supper and everything. The Lord's Supper, Thursday, the institution of the Lord's Supper. I always emphasize, I can't help it. The Lord's Supper where they all shared a meal. Not once does Jesus say anything like, isn't it great that we're all here together having fellowship and all the grace and mercy I'm going to show on you? Never once. All the conversation is at the Last Supper is about betrayal and suffering. I got to leave early. This is really kind of a downer. It's supposed to be a dinner party. And all we talk about is betrayal and your suffering. Your broken body and shed blood. That's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. When we are reverent in Mass, when it is presented in a most grave and profoundly reverent manner, is when we're trying to show as much gratitude as we are possibly capable. So all this other stuff that has been added in the Roman canon, you hear a bunch about sacrifice. You hear about the communion of the saints who died for because our Lord sacrificed. You hear about all these things. You don't hear that anymore because they don't use the Roman canon, or as they refer to it as Eucharistic Prayer 1. You got all these other Eucharistic prayers. You got some in the midst. You got some in the back. And the shorter the better. The shorter the better. Got to get these people out of here so they can go to Sonny's. God forbid they would give Christ thanks for hanging on a cross for them. Well, the pews are uncomfortable. Nail your hands to it and see how uncomfortable it is. That's the reality of things. And so we come to Mass, we show gratitude, but that other aspect that I said before, returning the kindness, that's living a practical Catholic life. That is living a life that is more and more in conformity with the will of our Lord Jesus Christ than our own will. This is what the cross is about. This is why we look at the Passion. This is why we ought not. We should embrace and venture toward more and more hearing about, reading about, meditating upon the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Not how you benefit from it, but what all your benefits, of which there are myriad, that those benefits came at a price that you don't even come near to showing true gratitude. Because again, his love was transcendent, but we can't offer him transcendent gratitude. We just got to do what we got to try. Living this practical Catholic life, we are here to serve him because of what he's done for us. One commentator, for those of you who were over in the parish hall when we blessed the palms, the gospel that was read over there where they loosed the donkeys. Loose the donkeys, because I have, if they say anything to you, say the Lord has need of them. I always like when commentators say things that kind of humble us. He said, we as Christ's people have to picture ourselves as those donkeys. Well, I want to be a lion or a big horse or something. Donkeys are like, ugh. We're those donkeys. Through our baptism, our Lord has loosed us from sin. Loose them. And if anybody says anything, tell them, I have need of. Why does he loose us from sin in our baptism? Because we're all that in a bag of chips? No, because the Lord has need of them. He's ascended into heaven right now, so he has us here, the little donkeys, to do just what those little donkeys did. What did they do? They carried him into Jerusalem. We're his little donkeys that carry him by his word and sacrament into this world. This is what we are. Don't be haughty. You're not a lion. You're not the big war horse. You're the little donkey. Hopefully. This is an unfortunate thing that in their pride, most people don't even consider being little donkeys for the Lord. It's come to Mass and try to be in the spotlight by doing this or doing that or doing that. And I'm going to be pejorative, everybody. There's just a lot of that goes around. And it goes around because of ingratitude. We can only give thanks for something that we begin to comprehend. We need to comprehend the sufferings of our Lord. We do it in Holy Week, but we should do it every time we come to Mass and in every day of our life. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.